Well, I was seeking the Lord this week for something for this morning, for our souls, and the Lord reminded me that in times like these are very disparaging times, difficult times. It seems, maybe it just seems that way, but every one of us are dealing with a lot of obstacles in life. A lot of hard things, a lot of things we don't understand. Seems like every day we get out and face life, face the world, that there's pressures that we have to deal with. As I said maybe last Sunday, we're kind of under the gun every day because the enemy is always out to get us. We've always got an enemy to fight, things to deal with, and he fights us through the flesh and through life in general. And as I was thinking about some of this, and the Lord brought a scripture to my mind. I've used it probably several times over the years. You've heard it several times from others. But we're going to hear it again, Lord willing, this morning. I already heard it read in Sunday school. And every time I think about this text, I think about my Aunt Armilda. Armilda, that's a strange name, isn't it? She was a minister of this persuasion or this gospel 60 years ago. She was a little woman, had a college education, which was rare in those days. And she didn't preach very long, because what she had on her mind to say, she talked quickly and she got it out quickly. But it always reminds me of her because she quoted it a lot. And she reminded her husband a lot of this verse of scripture. And he was a minister too. They did a lot of traveling across this country long before the interstates were ever built. And they were faithful to the Lord in the work of the Lord. And I want to be faithful too. But in times like these, when we are facing our trials and our battles and tests of life, we need a Savior. And I've always, well, maybe not always, but I've learned that the better I understand something, the better I am able to handle it. The more that I understand about God and about His Word, the more that I'm able to take comfort and strength from it. And the more that my faith is increased to allow Him to lead me through this life. I believe He knows everything. As the young people have already testified, He cares about the little things. I believe that. And sometimes we want to take the big things to Him and the little things we can work out ourselves. And sometimes the Lord lets us know He wants to be in the little things too. He wants to be in every aspect of our life. He loves us. He proved that. Gave His life for us. Was made a sacrifice for us. Shed His blood. So the little scripture, some of you probably know what it is since I mentioned my aunt. In the 8th chapter of Romans, pray the Lord to help us to get some good out of this today. In the 8th chapter of Romans in verse 26, he says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints." Thank the Lord. According to the will of God. We don't want to leave that part out. He makes intercession for us according to His will. And we know verse 28, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. A lot in that. But I want to deal mainly with the 28th verse, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And I want to say this at the beginning. If the things of this life, or this world, mean more to me than my relationship with God, I'm not going to be able to get a hold of what he's saying here. I won't be able to get a hold of it. If the things of this life mean more to me than my relationship with God, I'll not be able to get a hold of this text. But I can easily get a hold of this text if my desire is to have a close relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, you learn through life that there are things sometimes that can either make us or break us. You've heard of that, haven't you? Things that can make us and break us. And God loves you and I so much that he will not hold back his love to send us a trial to help us to see him in a greater way and to draw closer to the Lord. Life is made up of choices, and we have a choice. We can say, well, it's too tough and I can't handle this. It's more than I can bear. We see that in the scriptures. And we can just give up and quit if we want to. But folks, if my relationship with Jesus and my desire to go to heaven is greater than all the things that the enemy can come against me with, or that the Lord will allow to come against me in my trials and tests, I believe, as I already heard this morning, the Lord allows it, and he knows just what I need, and he has it designed just for me. I believe that. But it's not always pleasant, is it? It's not always easy. Sometimes it's a little hard. Sometimes it's hard because we tend to live in our own little world. We live in our own little world. We get blinders on sometimes. You know, you go visit someone that's been sick for a few weeks or months. And you go in their home and you sit with them and you pray with them, you talk to them, you sing songs to them. You know what they're going to talk about? They're not going to talk about everything out there. They're going to talk about their own little world. They're going to talk about everything they're dealing with because that's all they can deal with. That's all they can see. And if you and I want to get a hold of this scripture today, folks, we're going to have to take the blinders off, and we're going to have to look at this, that realistically look at the world that we live in today and realize that God is able, well able, if we'll have the faith and if we'll trust him, he is well able to take care of us and help us make heaven. Let's all go to heaven. Let's all go to heaven together, whatever it might take. Let's all be determined to make heaven. That's my heart's greatest desire. Greater than anything else. Greater than money and gold and pearls and silver and any kind of costly array. Greater than anything this world has to offer. I want to go to heaven more than anything. By the grace of God, I believe we can do it, folks. But no one said it was going to be easy. We're going to have our trials and we're going to have our tests. So he said here, and I've pointed this out several times, we know that all things work together for good to those that love God. Do you know it's natural for us to trust those that we love? It's just natural. Husbands trust their wives. Wives trust their husbands. We trust those that we're close to, those that we're familiar with. So I would say let's familiarize ourselves with who Christ is. Let's get familiar with Him and understand Him and know His ways, and we'll be able to trust Him because we know that He loves us. Sometimes we fail to get the help we need or what God has for us because our faith fails and we can't see past the end of our nose. That's true. You think about these things. Sometimes when our faith fails, and God's trying to get help to us, we can't see past the end of our nose. Why? Because we're in our own little world. And why? Because we're looking at the trial, we're looking at the test, we're looking at the situation instead of putting God in the equation. We do those things. We're all guilty of it. We do those things. God wants to be in the equation. He wants to be a part of your life. Every bit a part of your life. He said everything works together for good. For whose good? For your good. He answers, it said there that he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And what is God's will? He wants you and I to prosper. He wants you and I to make heaven. He wants you and I to do good. He wants you and I to bear fruit in this old dark world that we live in. He wants us to do those things. All things work together for good to those that love God. And you know, only divine providence, only God Himself knows how to take things meant to destroy us and turn them around for our good. There are things that come against you that's meant to destroy you. It's meant to take you down. But God knows how to take everything that we have to deal with in life, everything that we may be struggling with, and He knows how to turn it for our spiritual good. He knows how to do that. You could say to Brother C.W. Naylor that wrote Heart Talks and a lot of the songs in the book, you can say to him, if you could talk to him, you'd say, Brother Naylor, how could you see that it was for your good that you laid in bed for 52 years down in your back and couldn't get up? How was that to your good? I'll tell you why. It turned a lot for our good. I've heard down through the years, I've heard a lot of people talk about reading things in Heart Talks and being encouraged and being blessed. And we're still blessed by His songs today. God knows how to use you and I. And it may not be the way we want to be used. It may not be the desire that we have for our path in life. But folks, it says according to His will, all things work together for good to those that love God. The Bible talks about loving God and having faith. Faith worketh by what? Love. Faith worketh by love. If you just got a little bit of faith today, it's because you got a little bit of love. You've only got a little bit of love. The more faith that you have, the more love that you have, the more faith that you can have on hand. If you've got great love for God, folks, you can have great faith because you have a relationship with Him and you're able to trust Him no matter what it is that He permits to come your way. You can sit there like I have in the past, shake your head and say, Lord, I don't understand this. I don't understand. Sometimes, you know, we just don't have to understand. But when He brings you out into that wealthy place, you will understand. By and by, the song says, we'll understand it all, won't we? We'll know what the Lord had in mind for us. We'll know what His purpose was for us. Our part and our place is to trust Him and love Him. That's what our part is. Because actually, there's a lot of things that we have to deal with today that we really can't do anything about it ourselves. And we must be able to place it in God's hands and trust it. Well, I just don't see where this is going, Lord. I just don't see how this is going to work out or how this is going to be made possible. And there's many in here today that can testify to you that God has worked out hard and difficult things in ways they didn't even imagine. So when I pray, I don't tell God how to do it. I don't tell God, I tell God what my needs are, but I don't tell Him how to do it. I don't tell Him how to work it out because His ways are so much higher than mine. His mind is so much higher than mine and He sees pitfalls and He sees places that I don't even see. He knows more about me than I know about myself. So I'm not going to tell God how to do it. I'm just going to plead my case. Tell Him what my burden is. Tell Him what my need is. And have faith in God. And trust Him that He's going to work it out. Divine providence, I'm going to say it again, knows how to take things meant to destroy us and turn them around to work for our good. If we'll just trust Him. If we'll just trust Him. You know, really, the hardest things about being a Christian, the hardest things about living for the Lord is being able to trust Him in every part of my life, every part of it. When there's things I don't understand, when the preacher preaches things that I haven't been able to get a hold of, if I need to go home and I need to seek the Lord and I need to seek what His will and purpose is and I need a greater understanding of that portion of the Word. Folks, if I just understand God and understand His Word, I'll be able to trust Him. It'll help my faith. It'll increase my faith. If I understand what He wants to do and what He's trying to do with me. Now, obviously, what He wants to do with you is not the same thing He wants to do with me. He working on every one of us differently, isn't He? There's a scripture found in Psalms chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "Thou hast enlarged me. You've given me growth. When I was in distress." Wow. That's a lesson to learn, isn't it? "Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress." Do you know God knows how to do that? It's when you're in distress, when you're in a hard and a difficult place, that's when the growth and the maturity comes in your spiritual walk with the Lord, when you get in those places. Most of your growth and development will be through distress and troubles. That's where you're going to grow. You want the Lord to help you to grow? You're going to be in some distress. And you're going to be in troubles. You know, getting stuck in our own little world, having the blinders on, this, oh, woe is me, whatever it might be. You know how to get out of your own little world? Reach out to others. That's how you do it. You reach out to others. And you start in your prayers. You don't just pray for yourself. You don't just pray for all your needs. But you pray for others. With a heart full of love and concern for others. Get out of your own little world and enlarge your world. But getting stuck in your own little world hinders you in getting what God has for you. Do you know that God cannot be glorified in you and I as long as everything goes well for us? Everything going just fine. That's why I tell people many times when they ask me how I am, I tell them I'm better than I deserve. God's been good to me, folks. He's been good to every one of us. He's lifted me out of a deep life of sin and set my feet on a solid rock. He gave me new direction and paths for my feet, and I thank the Lord for that today. But distress can be good growing ground for every one of us if we just wait on God. What do you do while you're waiting? Well, we're praying and we're trusting. We're letting Him do it. We're letting Him bring the understanding to us. We're letting Him bring the growth and the maturity and the development in our spiritual walk with the Lord. You know, let me use a couple of Bible characters if I could. And we use this fellow a lot. Poor old Joseph. When he was a little boy, I don't know what it was like growing up in that household. But I know that when father began to pick him out as the favorite, that right away it was going to cause Joseph a lot of grief. When Joseph was the favorite and he had 11 other brothers, and they got to looking and said, father cares more about him or loves him more than he loves us. Folks, that's going to cause family trouble, isn't it? Always will cause family trouble. Parents should never show favoritism to one particular child. It'll always cause family. They pick up on that. The other children see that. They know what's going on. Well, it bought Joseph a lot of grief, didn't it? And I'm not going to get down to the details of his life, but he was a slave in Egypt. He was sold into Egypt as a slave. But God was still with him. That's what I want you to remember. God was still with him. Even when he was sent away from home, brothers told dad that he was dead. Was it animals come up on him and took his life and he was dead? And dad thought his son was dead and he grieved himself almost to death himself. But he was a slave over there in Egypt. But God, folks, all things work together for good to those that love God. It's pretty obvious to me that Joseph loved God. Because God took the bad things that happened to Joseph in his life and turned them around for his good, didn't he? I don't ever see where Joseph or Job or Daniel or any of those other faithful men or Abraham, I don't see where any of those faithful men ever got down on their face and cursed God for what happened to them in their lives. They trusted him. And they were faithful. We're going to have to grow up, saints, and we're going to have to put our big boy pants on. And we need to grow closer to the Lord. We need to see Him in a greater way. We need to see not what I can do, but what He can do. Remember Jonathan, I've been thinking about him some lately, Jonathan and his armor bearer. There was some Philistines up there, I think 200 or 300 of them, up on the hill above him. And he says to his armor bearer, he says, you know, he says, let's see, maybe God would want us to go up there and fight them. Jonathan and his armor bearer, that's it. And God. And when they said, come up and we'll show you a thing or two, Jonathan said, that's the Lord, let's go up. And in about a half acre of land, the Bible said, Jonathan and his armor bearer slew every one of them. Now you're going to say, that's impossible. But the Bible says with God, nothing is impossible. Jesus showed us that when he was here on earth. And he raised the people from the dead. Lazarus come forth. And he prayed and he looked up to God and said, Father, these things happened that they might see your glory and your power. Jesus was always bent and intent in glorifying God, his Father. That's what we ought to be. We ought to be intent on glorifying God and his Father. I think about the man that had the leprosy, came to Jesus. Then he said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Jesus said, I will be thou clean. Now suppose it hadn't been the will of God for that leper to be cleansed. He'd have went right on being a leper. There wasn't nothing he could do about it. But folks, he had some faith. Exercising faith. Lord, I know if you will, you can heal this leprosy. I know if you will, if it's your will, you can do it. Jesus knew his faith. Jesus knows our faith today. Faith worketh by love, folks. You're not going to create a great love for God holding on to the world. Not going to get it. We're going to have to give up this old world. The Bible says the love of the world is not of the Father, but it's of the world. Joseph, a slave. He got over there and he got involved in many different things. You know what? He was in Potiphar's house and Potiphar's wife did all planned her little scheme and he got put in the dungeon and those kind of things. He went through a lot of things. But then after a while, see, the Lord didn't forget him. You ever feel like, well, Lord, you forgot about me. Lord, I've been in this a long time. Have you ever been down in a dungeon for a long time? Physically? No, you haven't. None of us have. The Lord didn't forget him. Brought him out. Eventually, he ended up giving him a wife. And his wife bore him a son. And he named that son Ephraim. Or Ephraim, however how you want to pronounce it. You know what that meant? If you look at Genesis 41:52, Ephraim meant, thou hast made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. Only God can do that, folks. Do you believe he can do that? Lord, help our faith today. God made me fruitful. I bore fruit in the land of my affliction. Joseph didn't want to be away from his family. He missed his father. We see that at the end of there, don't we? He really missed his father. Sent the brothers back to bring daddy over here. He missed his father. He missed his family. But he gave the Lord glory and the Lord praise and said, you've made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. You know, God can do that for you and I if we'll learn to trust him. You and I can bear good fruit right in our afflictions. And I've seen saints among us that have borne good fruit right in their afflictions, in their faithfulness, in their steadfastness, in their trust to just let God do what he will. That's what we need to do. Let God do what he will for us. Now, it's a given that you and I are going to suffer in this life. It's a given. And I don't mean just physical sufferings. We're going to go through some things, whether you're saved or not. But if you're alive, you're going to go through some things. And I want you to be sure that what you go through, you get what you pay for. Because you're going to pay for it. You're going to suffer. And it would be good through our sufferings that we get some spiritual good out of that because we're paying for it. You take a woman. I bought my wife a few years back. Glad I did a few years back. Seemed like I get more and more all the time. One of those, what do you call those fancy blenders, real expensive blenders that, what is it? No, it's more, it's KitchenAid, about $300. Pay more than that for them now, I guess. Well, I got news for you, folks. When I paid $300 for that thing, when I brought it home, when she went to use it, if it didn't work, I was going to take it back. I'm not going to keep it. Say, oh, well, maybe I'll go get another one. I'm sorry that one didn't work. No, it's going back. We want to get the good out of what we're paying for, don't we? We want to get the benefit. We don't want to pay for something that is not working. But I got news for you. You're going to pay for it. Lord, help us to get the good out of it. Help us to get the growing out of it, the development out of it. Let's be particular. Let's be particular about our spiritual benefits, because they're there for us. He has great benefits for His people. Let's be particular that we get good out of our trials. And don't allow my attitude or my faith to cause me to fail to get the results that I desire. Because folks, watch your attitudes. And ask God to inspire your faith that you can get the results that God intended for you to have in your trials. I'm not going to turn to these scriptures for the sake of time. But in Isaiah 48 and 10, the writer said, I have chosen thee. God is speaking to Israel here. And he said, I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Don't we all want to be among the chosen? Don't we all want to go to heaven? God's talking to His people Israel there. I've chosen you, but I've chosen you in the furnace of affliction. It isn't nothing, anything new with God. He chose His own Son to come to this world and be afflicted for all mankind. I'm certainly no greater than the Son of God. He's chosen us, and I want to be among the chosen. The scripture says many are called, but few are chosen. You know why? Because not everyone is willing to stay in the battle. Not everyone is willing to stay in the trial until they get what God has for them out of that trial. Scripture also speaks of the furnace, the finding pot for silver, but the furnace for gold. And gold is costly, and the refining of gold is a severe process. And folks, I've seen it on display among our people. I've been through some severe times my own self, and you probably have too. To come forth with gold is severe. Refining, folks, is a hard and a difficult, it's a hot process. When the Lord wants to refine you, your character, your attitudes, whatever it might be that He sees you need refining, it's a severe process and it hurts. So I said to the brother when I was visiting and staying with him and praying with him, I said, Refining's not easy, is it? When Lord's refining us, getting us ready for heaven, getting us ready for glory, when the Lord's refining us, it's a severe process, folks. But Job knew what he was going to look like. Would you say Job was being refined? Lost his children? Lost everything he had and was sitting there with boils and had these lousy comforters to come and sit with him. I would say he was going through a refining process. But at the end, he said, when I come forth, I shall what? I shall be as pure gold. See, Job knew, he got a hold of this. He understood this. It wasn't his choice. Lord, this isn't my choice. I don't choose to take this way. Lord, this is hard. It's difficult on me. Job didn't. He didn't make that choice. God made it for him. He even said in the 16th chapter, I believe it is, or maybe it's the 12th chapter in the 16th verse, he said, He has set me up for a mark. God may set us up for a mark. I went through a very hard and difficult affliction one time, and Sister Williams called the house and reminded me and said, Brother Larry, you've been a very diligent minister and preaching a divine healing among our people. Now the Lord set you up for a mark and it's time for you to be the example. I said, Amen. Though He slay me, I'm going to trust Him. And I remember telling the Lord that night, I don't know whether I'm going to live or die, because it looked like for sure I was going to die. But I'm going to trust You. Folks, that's where we got to come to. Yes, the refining process. It's hard on the flesh. It's hard on us. It'll take us right to the nth degree in testing our faith. How's your faith today? Are you willing to wait on the Lord? Said, wait on the Lord. You'll renew your strength. Mount up with wings as eagles. Run and not be weary and walk and never faint. Folks, the promises are there. But I'm going to have to be faithful when I go through my trials that I can receive those promises and those blessings that God has for me. Now I'm moving along here. I see people today that are struggling because of short rations. Short rations. You know what that means? That means a little short on food. A little short on food. They're a little weak in faith and in their experience. They're up and down in their walk with the Lord. Do you know why that is? Because it's too far in between feeding stations. They go too long without getting some food. They go too long without pressing into the presence of God, getting into His Word, and getting the food from the Word that they need to sustain them when that trial and difficult and hard place comes in their life. So they're short on rations. Remember, I gotta remind us of this. Remember when Samson and his dad was going down to the Philistines to get Samson's wife that he wanted? It said a lion come out on him. Scripture says a lion come out at him and Samson just took that lion and ripped him apart, slayed the lion, threw the carcass aside, kept right on going. On the way back, Samson got where that lion was and he went over the side and looked and bees had gotten into that carcass. And there was a bunch of honey in there. And he was able to get honey out of that trial. That lion rose up against him. But the next day or two when he came back, the bees had honey in there. And he gave some to his father, I believe. And he ate some of that honey. Folks, there's honey in the rock for every one of us. There's something to feed you and I, to sustain you and I. God has it, but you're not going to find it looking off here and there and everywhere else. You're going to have to look to God. He's the one that has it. Whenever I was a little boy, my mom made some fantastic breakfast. At least I thought so. Biscuits and gravy and fried chicken. One of my favorites was biscuits and gravy and salmon patties for breakfast. I didn't go to the next door neighbors to eat. I ate right there because I knew that was going to be good. Some here can attest Grandma could cook. She was quite the cook. You go where the food is. People are going too long between feeding stations here. They're not getting the food. They're not getting the strength. Because folks, count it. Count on it. Those tests are going to come. Those trials are going to come. You and I need to be able to set up Ebenezers along the way, don't we? We need to be able to set up Ebenezer stones. Said, look back when the next trial comes. Said, Lord, you brought me through that one. You brought me through this one. And you're going to bring me through the next one too. Because that's how strong my faith is and my trust in God. Maybe we need more lion experiences. Maybe we need more Ebenezer stones. Now the scripture says, to them that are, who are called according to his purpose. It isn't my purpose that he's interested in. Oh, he's interested in me. But if I give my life over to him, if I'm consecrated to him, if I truly am, then we can sing that song, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. If I truly am, I want to be here and be used according to his purpose and his grace. The Lord has a definite objective for everything that he does. He doesn't play around with us. He doesn't take pleasure in seeing you and I suffer. He doesn't take pleasure in that at all. But he has a definite objective in mind when he allows something to come our way. And he has a general overall purpose for all of us. Working together to work for our good. I believe the Lord wants to work things to our good. I believe that. To perfect us or bring us to the maturity. As the next verse says, to the image of his son. Can you imagine? Have you ever thought about it? That you could be made to the image of Jesus Christ? That's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take a lot of work on me, I can tell you that. And the Lord's been working on me and he's still working on us. He wants to perfect us to the image of his son. What will it take? What's it going to take in your life to be made like his son, the image of his son? To have the graces that Jesus had, the patience, the kindness, the love, the long-suffering, all the fruit of the Spirit that we read about this morning in Sunday school. What's it going to take to be made like him? Apostle Peter made the comment that we might be partakers of what? His divine nature. His very divine nature. Well, I don't believe that the Word of God would tell us to do something that God didn't have the grace for us to do it. But it's how much we want to put into it. It's how much we want to get involved in it. It's what really matters. But I believe God has the grace for you and I to be partakers of his divine nature. In 1 Peter 1 and 6, Peter says this. We're talking about all things work together for good this morning to those that love God. Peter says, rejoice for a season if need be. Now you take all those words. Rejoice for a season, if need be. Ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation. As I said before, God doesn't take pleasure just to see us suffer. What he permits and allows to come our way is for a spiritual purpose, a spiritual good. God's interested in the spiritual side of man. That's what God's interested in. That's the only thing that's going to last beyond this world is the spiritual man, the soul of a man. Because once this old world is over, the body goes back to the dust from which it came. That's scripture. So God's working on the spiritual side of man. And Peter said, if need be, you're in manifold temptations, if need be. Now who knows whether you need to be or not? God does. In other words, if he sees it's necessary, he's not going to hold back his love. I'm taking us through things that will benefit us. I have a simple illustration of that. I've used it here from time to time. In the past, I'm getting a lot better, thank the Lord. In the past, traffic lights have been a real problem for me. I really don't like getting stopped by red lights. And I realize we got to have traffic lights. We lived out in the country several years ago. And coming down the country road, for some reason or another, out there in the country, they put up a traffic light. This intersection. And I could see that light when I rose over the hill, probably a half mile or more, whether it was green or red. And it seemed like every time that I come over that hill and come to that light, it was red. And I had to stop. Telling myself a little bit. I remember one day my wife was with me. Bless her heart. She always knows when to say something that I don't want to hear. I was sitting there at that light. And I was in a hurry, and I said, I can't believe it. I said, I don't need this. That's what I said. I don't need this. And of course, she says, evidently you do. And I said, I didn't need that either. It's frustrating when you're in a trial, isn't it? When you're being tested, you get frustrated. It's human nature. I said, I don't need this. Evidently you do. Evidently I did. Rejoice for a season if need be. The Lord knows what it's going to take. I pray for patience, see? So the Lord says, I'm going to give you something to try it. I'm going to try your patience. When you pray to draw closer to the Lord, you can count on the trials coming. You pray for a specific thing, you can count on a trial to deal with that. God's faithful, folks. Because he loves us. He loves us so much, he sent his son. And he's going to allow us to go through those things that's going to benefit us. And going to help us to see him. Get those things, the refining process I was talking about. Refining. It hurts. It's hot. Lord, I don't really want to go through this, but yet I want to be conformed to the image of your son, the scripture says. So it's going to take some refining in this old human nature. Some of us, he has to work on us a little more maybe than others, but whatever your trial is or my trial is won't be your trial more than likely. You know, I used to tell my wife about those traffic lights. I said, you know how bad I hate red lights. Then I said, when I die, they'll drive through every one of them red just to get me in the ground. That's what they do, isn't it? But you know what? When I'm dead, it won't matter. They can stop at every one of them if they want to. It don't matter. Folks, those things don't matter. Sometimes we can get caught up with things that we think really matter. They're really important, and they're really not important. I think of a scripture over there in Ecclesiastes when it says, there's no hatred, there's no anger, there's no unforgiveness in the grave. When I get to that place, those things don't matter. I'm going to lay them down. How someone treated me, it don't matter. I'm going to leave it behind, and I'm going to leave them with God. Because I'm going to meet God for myself. I'm going to meet God face to face. Sometimes we do struggle with things that really don't matter. And yet we put a lot of importance on it. Because it just goes against us. I'm glad that it's God that decides what kind of a trial I need. Sometimes He'll use my wife. Sometimes, many times, He'll use the ones closest to you. He'll use that very thing in order to help you to see yourself. To see yourself. Because He knows things about me that I don't even know about myself. The Bible says He searches the heart and He tries the reins. He's trying us. He's trying you. If you're alive and you're here this morning, you're alive. He's trying you. You're being tried. You're being tested. We're all going through that process, aren't we? Let's realize it. Let's be honest about this. Let's be realistic. You don't have to pinch me to prove to me I'm alive. Because I experience life just like you do. He searches the heart and He tries the reins. And if He sees something that would mar the image of His Son, He may seem it necessary to do some work on us. He may seem it necessary to do some work on us. We have a song in our book. I like it. You probably like it too. But folks, there's a lot of meaning to it rather than just singing it. It says, God's way is best. I will not murmur. I think that's easier to sing than it is to have faith to get a hold of it. To say that I won't murmur. Folks, God was angry with the children of Israel when they were out in the wilderness because of their murmuring and complaining. So I'm asking, Lord, help me not to murmur and complain. But to be willing to accept what it is You see I need to refine me and make me into the image of Your Son. God's way is best, even if it's not pleasant to the flesh. Oh, folks, we all have a lot of things that aren't pleasant to the flesh. And that really cuts against our grain because the flesh wants to be happy. Oh, I've heard that. I've heard that from people. I'm happy and God wants me to be happy. And the things they're doing is awful. But they're happy. I would say they're happy because their conscience has been seared. And God's not able to show them what they're doing is wrong. God's way is best. His chastening, the Bible says, will yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness. The chastening of the Lord will yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And trials are meant to show us. That's what they're meant for. Meant to show us our needs. And I'm learning, the older you get, the more difficult things become. The simple things become to do. Now you and I, everyone here this morning, have a will and a free choice. You make your own choices in life. Most people, I'm going to say most people, are struggling in life right today because of the choices that they make. People are struggling because of quick decisions. People in relationships that are struggling because they didn't think it through, they didn't pray it through, and they didn't seek the Lord for direction, and they made quick decisions and pay for it, some of them for the rest of their lives. But we're all creatures of choice. I'll confess again, before the Lord saved me, I made some very poor choices. Very poor choices. Out in this world, I got involved in things that was over my head. Things that would eventually hurt this old fleshly body as I get older. Things that I got involved in the world. But I have a free choice. And I believe the scripture that I used last Sunday said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's a law of nature. You plant a peach seed, and if a tree comes up, there won't be any apples on it. And so forth. And it's a law of God. You're not going to outwit God. You're not going to get to the judgment and having outwit God, and you're going to go on into heaven, folks. He's got a law. It's the Word of God. And we're all subject to it, whether we want to be or not. We will be at the judgment. Jesus said, the words that I've spoken unto you, the same shall judge you in the last day. Not me. It's not the preacher going to judge, thank God. But it's the word that Jesus spoke. That's what's going to judge us. And ain't nobody going to escape it. I did a funeral. Most of you know. I did a funeral about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Someone told me before I did it that the family, some of the family, were atheists. They didn't believe in God. And I said, that's all right. They won't always be atheists. Someday they'll believe there's a God. When they stand before Him at the judgment, it may be too late, but they'll believe He's a God. And they'll believe that He's the great I Am. There won't be no atheist in eternity, folks. The Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Every tongue shall confess that thou art the Christ. So we have a will. And we have a free choice. In His dealings with you and I, there are things He can do for us and with us without our permission. He can just do things for us. But when it comes for the need of my eternal soul that will live forever, my will has got to act upon that. So God brings me through a difficult place or trial or test in life. And He wants to bring me to a place where I can see the need that I have. He wants me to see it. He wants me to admit it. Isn't that how we get saved in the first place? We confess our sins and our faults, sins before God. He wants me to be able to see where I'm coming up short. He wants me to be able to see my need, and then it's necessary for my will to act upon that. You understand? It's necessary that I say, Lord, I see what it is You're showing me. I see a need, my need, and I want my will to act upon that. I want to accept that, Lord, as from God. And what You're trying to do in my life. My will has to act upon it. God is so good to us. He's so faithful to us. Well, I'm going to bring this down to a close. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I'm glad it's His purpose. I'm glad He sees what I need. Because sometimes you and I, we might see what we need, but we don't want to do anything about it. Because we know how hard and difficult it's going to be. And I want to bring one more character into play this morning. And that's the old, good old Apostle Peter. You know, you remember when Peter told the Lord, "Lord, I'll go with you, even unto death. I'll go with you." Well, that was very noble, and I believe Peter meant what he said. I believe he meant what he said. Folks, do you know what you're made of? Do you really know yourself? Sometimes we think we know ourselves. You know, folks, I'm learning as we get older, we need to keep our nose to the grindstone. And we need to keep working on self. We can't lay back and take God for granted and take things for granted from God. But we got to keep working on ourselves. Peter said, "I'll go with you even unto death." Well, that's my desire. But Jesus told him, "Satan has desired to have you to sift you as wheat." Can't leave Satan out of this equation, can we? He's after every one of us. But you see, Jesus knew Peter. Good old impetuous Peter. Always the first one to speak out, always got the answers. Good old impetuous Peter. "Lord, I'll do this and I'll do that." Peter, Satan has desired to have it. See, the Lord understands the whole scheme of things. He understands what the enemy's going to trying to do. He understands the nature of men. And I can just think, you know, thinking, there's no way I can think for Jesus, but Jesus thinking, "Yeah, Peter, I believe you. I believe you really believe that. You really believe that you're going to go with me unto death." But Jesus said, "Peter, I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. But before the cock crows three times, you're going to deny." You're going to deny me thrice. Before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. That's what it was. See, Jesus knew those things. Jesus knows you and I today. He knows our heart's greatest desire. He knows where we're living, how we're living. He knows about our honesty, how honest we are with our fellow men, with one another. He knows all about those things, how honest you are with God. The Lord prays the same way for you and I today. As he prayed for Peter, he knew Peter was going to fail. Peter really believed he could handle that. Folks, we cannot handle life without God. We can't do it. There isn't any of us in here strong enough, wise enough, to handle life without God. We can't do it. The devil will take advantage of us every time if we go up against him without God. The scripture in Matthew 3 and 12 says the fan is in his hand and he will thoroughly purge his floor. Folks, he's going to purge us. He's going to purge us. He's going to prove us. He's going to try us. See, love is an action word. You love me? Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." It's an action word, isn't it? We're going to have to put it into action. We're going to have to put it into practice if we truly love him. All things work together for good for those that love God. The key is loving God. You want him to take and make everything work together for good. Love God. Jesus told the disciples and the Pharisees, "Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." Loving with all part of your being, love God. Give yourself wholly and affectionately unto him and allow him to reign and rule in your life. Those words are easier said than done. I realize that. But folks, that's where we need to be, is giving the Lord the right of way. in our lives to do what he sees best. Amen.